Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I was looking on the internet and I found some letters to God from kids. How many know when kids talk, they just kind of say it with no filter and they just kind of say it how it is? So I thought you might like this today. Because it hits close to home. Every one of us has a kid inside of us. This comes from Mark. Dear God, are you really invisible or just hiding because you don't like your clothes? To God, if you grant me 3 wishes, I'll give you anything you want except for my chess set or my money. Yo friend, Mike. He's a bargainer, businessman. He's trying to negotiate. Dear God, please make me pretty because I don't think I'm very smart. Love, Jesse. She's like, God, give me a little something extra. Come on. This comes from Sally. Dear God, if dinosaurs were not extinct, we'd all be eaten and dead. So I want to let you know you did the right thing. And this is the last one. Hi, God. How come my brother has a wiener and I don't? Did you run out of them? I want to know, Sue. Smile, even if you got 3 teeth. Try it. Come on. Laughter is good like medicine. Someone say yes. I use the Bible today because it works. Psalm 78, if you have your Bible, go there. I think I'll put it on the back of the screen. I'm going to speak to you here, and for the next couple of moments, I beg you to pay attention. Not because I need you to pay attention, but because I think I'm going to be able to share something with you that can change, really change and transform your life. It's a message that transformed my life. When I first gave my life to Christ, I walked into the Raiders chaplain's office, and we were friends prior to that, before I gave my life to God. And he said something to me that changed my life. He said, Rex, do yourself a favor. Don't go study all the rules and regulations and try to measure yourself up by all how much you can obey. He says, go brainwash yourself on the miracles of God. He says, because then you'll start to think like God thinks. And when you start to think like he thinks, you'll start to act and love like he acts and loves. So I went home and he said, just marinate yourself in Psalm 78 and then read all the gospels over and over and over, and always read the Bible out loud. Don't read it softly, he said to me. He said, why? Because faith comes when you hear God's word. And he says, when you speak it and you hear it, your part of your right side of your brain creates a picture that stimulates your nervous system. And it's a picture that you can easily come back to in your brain on a consistent basis. And after every miracle, he said, if you could do it, I could do it. If you could do it, I could do it. He says, you just say it out loud. If you could do it, I could do it. Come on, somebody. If you could do it, if I could do it. If Jurgen could do it, come on, somebody. I could do it. If Matt could do it, I could do it. So I spent for about, gosh, maybe about 7 to 6, 7 years straight brainwashing myself on the miracles of God. When Tony Robbins asked me what I used to get results, I say the Bible. He gave me the Benji the dog look. He goes, really? I go, yeah, I don't want good results. I want God results. And is that to put him down? Absolutely not. I just said, I believe that there's a better way, because I believe we're called to live a supernatural life, not just a natural life. How many people want a supernatural life? Supernatural living, according to Webster's, means to occur outside the normal experience or knowledge of man. It requires a divine belief that miracles can happen. How many know that God is miraculous? If you don't need miracles, you don't need God. Let me just say it again, because that was like a good tweetable moment. If we don't need miracles, we don't need God. A miracle according to Webster's, is a supernatural intervention of God into the natural affairs of men. 1 minute you can't pay your bills, the next minute you can. Come on, somebody. 1 minute you don't got a job, the next minute you do. Come on, somebody. 1 minute you're on Tinder, now you found the love of your life. Come on, somebody. 1 minute you can't have a kid, now you can't have a kid. Come on, somebody. 1 minute you had cancer, now you don't. 1 minute you were clinically depressed, now you're in a good mood just because. Miracles cannot just get you out of things, they can also get you into things. The hypnosis of our culture says our biography equals our destiny. That we are our past. Come on, somebody. Therefore, we only view miracles to try to get us out of the parts of our life we don't like. But what if miracles aren't just to get us out of things? Why? Because if we sit there and we live in a therapy culture, it says you are your past. We're like cats with gum on the back of our tails. We're always just trying to get the gum off. What happens? You chase your tail. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever feel like that before? Or as a friend of mine says, you nurse it, you curse it, rehearse it. We're always just trying to get out of things. It's amazing. Before God, I was always trying to get into things. Now you get into God, it's like you're always trying to fix yourself. But the Bible says Jesus became sin and weak and sick for you so that what was wrong could be made right. Maybe we should get miracles in our mentality so we're not just trying to get out of things, but we start looking how we can bust into things. Oh, you're going to like this today. Come on, just slap the person next to you and say, you're going to like this. Why the call on your life is going to take miracles. The call on your life, no matter your age, your financial bracket, no matter your ethnicity, your background, your color, your skin, you have a call on your life. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are a work of art created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works there is not just doing what man can do in his own ability, but it's aligning yourself and doing something that's going to take God's super on your natural. Why are you coming and talking about this stuff? You're usually about purpose, you're about all things. Because there's a culture that's trying to take miracles, God's miracles, out of the mentality, out of the mouths, and out of the minds of people in America. Just like in Nebuchadnezzar's day when Daniel became in there and Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro, and they all got in. Stay with me. Chill out. When they went in there, they said, we're going to teach them the literature, the mentality of the Chaldeans, and we're going to teach them the language. Why? Because they were raised in a miracle mentality, as you're going to be seeing. God didn't want miracles just to get them out of Egypt, their former life. He wanted miracles not just to come to them and get them out of things. He wanted miracles to live in them to get them into things. So they did not think they served a limited God that could perform once, but now left them to themselves. Why is that important? Because you never prove in your experience what's not renewed in your mind. As your mentality, and everyone has one, some have I'm not enough mentality, some have just barely make it mentality, some have a prejudice mentality, come on. Some have a poor mentality, some have a I can't mentality. And let me just stop and park there for a minute. Do you know that you're told you can't 155,000 times by the age of 17 compared to you can or you will only 5,000 times? Wow. How many of our can'ts are silencing God's wants? Come on. I like that. We become forward people stuck on backward thoughts. That's good right there. Ooh, I'm going to buy my own CD. We become forward people created to go forward and do good work, stuck on backward thoughts. I wonder if I'm going to pay my bills. I wonder if what's going to happen. I messed up last night. Come on, somebody. And like God shocked. Oh, my gosh. Get Gabriel around. Get Michael. Let's have a conference. What are we going to do? They had too many cervezas last night. Like you're the first person that's had a challenge. Come on, somebody. But God's looking to transform your experience daily, because destiny's daily. It's not every once in a while. He wants you to win on the inside daily. Come on, somebody, say daily. Someone say daily. There's a battle for your mind. The enemy knows if he can defeat you in your mentality, he'll defeat you in your experience. Some people would rival and say, well, I got all the passion. I ask people all the time, why is your business going to succeed? Why is your marriage going to be more passionate? Why is your relationship with your kids going to be more vibrant? You're going to be present, not on a phone. Why is your ministry going to thrive? Well, I got the passion, brother. I got the passion. I like passion. I got a lot of energy. I got a lot of passion in my life. I love living with passion, showing up and engaging with passion. But people are saying, I'm going to succeed because of my passion. And I know immediately they're going to succeed for a moment. I learned that when I was watching Tiger Woods back in his heyday. I walked with Tiger one time. And Tiger, the whole time when he's playing golf, when he was in the zone, he'd say, you're Tiger Woods. You're the greatest golfer in the world. While there's thousands of people around him, you're Tiger Woods. That's the way you hit the shot. You're Tiger Woods because this is what you do. You're Tiger Woods. This is what you go from that angle. This is the way you do this because you're Tiger Woods. This is what you do. His whole time, he's zoned out. Sergio Garcia was playing him, the good-looking Spaniard. And first couple days, he was beating Tiger. But then on Saturday, Tiger got within striking distance, staying consistent. And then they said, Sergio, are you going to really be able to defeat Tiger on Sunday? He goes, yes, I want it more. I got the passion. They said, Tiger, what do you think about that? He says, I got a mentality. He got that out there on that Sunday. He put on his red shirt, kissed his mama. Come on, somebody. And he went out there and he spanked Sergio all over that court. And they wrote on the front page of the newspaper, a mentality dwarfs his passion. What's a mentality, Rex? It's a frame of mind. How many know your ability, your mind has the ability to make a heaven out of a hell or a hell out of heaven? As the writer of Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jeremiah 6:19 says, your thoughts bear fruit for good or for bad. Proverbs 15:15, according to the Amplified, all the days of that people that are despondent and depressed, their days are made evil. The word evil is sick, sinful, impoverished by anxious thoughts and forebodings, planning bad things in your head. How many know, come on, wrong thinking patterns can limit what God can do in your life? God's looking to change and transform the way you engage so you don't win for a minute, but you win consistently. All I do is win, win, win. Come on, somebody. That wasn't on the Hillsong channel, by the way. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. It's interesting, the word ear there, by the way, if you're a thinker and studier and logical person, it means to expand, to broaden out. Whatever you give your ear to will broaden in your life. What do you want more of? Come on, somebody. You want to hang around and get more junk in your life? Hang out with people that gossip. Come on, somebody. You want to have panic in your life? Hang out with people that gossip. Come on. What you get ear to expands in your life. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'm going to open my mouth in a parable. I'm going to utter dark sayings of old, things we've heard and things we've known. Someone say, things we've heard, things we've known. Things our fathers told us, we're not going to hide them from our children, but we're going to tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord, of his strength and his miracles he has performed. Someone say, God's a performer. Let me say this. It'll never be a question in can God perform this year. Michael Jordan will one day shoot his last jump shot. LeBron, hopefully tonight, will shoot his last jump shot against my team. Come on, somebody. Frank Sinatra sang his last note. Come on, somebody. Steve Jobs designed his last design for Apple. But God will never quit performing his last miracle. Oh, this is good. Watch. Verse 4, he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, they should tell them to their kids, make them known to their kids, that the generation to come, come on somebody, our family members, they might know them. The word know there is to know them in an intimate way, not just have an idea, but let them become a conviction. Come on. The children that would be born, they may arise and declare them to their kids, that they may set their expectation in God and not forget the miracles of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8. It may not be like our fathers that were stubborn, hard-hearted, rebellious, a generation that never set its heart right, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim being armed, they had bows, weapons. They turned back in the day of battle. They did not walk in the covenant of God because they forgot his miracles. Now watch, jump to 32, 33, and you'll see how we pull this all together to help you. 32, in spite of this, they kept on sinning. They did not believe in his miracles, therefore their days were consumed with vanity, fruitless living in futility, and fear, panic, and dread. Verse 41, again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel, and because they did not remember his power. Verse 43, and his signs that he worked. They limited God. The word limit means to cramp one's style and to cage him. Here's what God delivered them, and he set up a system. At the age of four, the parents had to teach their kids three things. These kids would not be growing up on American Idol. Come on, somebody. They would not be growing up on The Voice. America's Got Talent. Come on, The Bachelorette. Oh, my gosh, she's got so many choices. Week one, weeks two tomorrow, come on. They didn't grow up on that. They grew up on three things. It was a responsibility. If the parents did not translate this to the children, it was considered neglect or child abuse because you would deprive the child of understanding of who he was in relationship with, that God was with them. He taught them three things. Number one, God blesses. Someone say blesses. Say like you got energy. Say blesses. Number two, God guides. Someone say God guides. Come on, he knows how to keep you on your yellow brick road. Come on, somebody. No matter the lions, the tigers, and the bears, you don't want to return. Come on, you got to stay on that path. Number three, he delivers. So they taught them this all growing up, age four or five. When they'd come home in the afternoon, they didn't throw on the tube. They didn't just jump on their phones. Come on, somebody. Jump on YouTube. See what's happening. See which kids are talking about other kids, about their dolls. They weren't raised on Han Solo. Come on, somebody. They were raised on God blesses, guides, delivers. He blesses, guides, delivers. If you'll ever look to him, he'll bless you. He'll guide you, deliver. These are his thoughts and these are his habits. It's good to get in a relationship with somebody before you commit fully to him. I want to know their habits. Don't just show me who you are on Friday night. I want to see what you're like on Saturday morning. What are your, I didn't mean it like that. Hey, I want to know your habits. What's your style of living? I wanted to know what Katrina was like when things were easy, but also when there's some challenge. I want to know who I'm in relationship with. What are her habits? Isn't it good if you get in a relationship with someone to know someone? God wants to be understood and known, Jeremiah 9:23 says. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, the mighty man in his might. He says, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Aren't you made in his image and want to be known? He wants you to know his habits, that no matter where you are, who you are, what you've been in, if you'll look to him, he'll bless you, he'll guide you, he'll deliver you. He'll bless you, he'll guide you. Come on, deliver you. He'll bless you, he'll guide. He wanted them to pass this on. Let me tell you something. Every one of us has been passed on mentalities. In my family, it was be careful. I'm a 41-year-old man that looks like he's 33. No plastic surgery yet. Come on, somebody. Hollywood years. 33. I've traveled this world, globe, up and down. I've been in the president. I've gone to dinner with the president. Met with kings. I've met with people. I've spoken Suge Knight's house. Did a Michael Landon, a baptism of people from Playboy getting baptized in the freaking pool. Giving their life to Jesus. I've been some crazy places in my life. It's really crazy places in my life. But one thing I know is that if I was handed down, be careful, my mom would call me and goes, hey, Rex, where are you today? I'm just in LA. What are you doing? I'm meeting with some people. Be careful. Mom, I'm walking down Rodeo Drive. Be careful. Where are you today, Rex? I'm in Kenya. What are you doing? I'm in the dump. What do you mean you're doing in the dump? I'm picking out kids. We're going to go buy them a home, and a bunch of kids that have AIDS are going to get medication and treatment. What are you doing? Be careful, Rexford. What are you doing? Me and Katrina are hanging out. I'm going to make out with her mom. Oh, Rexford, stop it. Be careful. Come on. How many of you were ever raised in a be careful attitude? What she meant was, Rex,
Go ahead and do a little bit of it, but don't throw yourself all the way in, because if you throw yourself all the way in, there's a chance you could get hurt. But as a result, it kept me dabbling with things, trying things, but never committing to things. The challenge with that is my reality's formed around what I'm committed to, not what I'm interested in. I found myself sabotaging myself because I was raised in a mentality, we might not have enough. Come on, we were lower income, but not lower class. We had Adidos, not Adidas. Come on, somebody. We had Mikeys, not my Nikes. Come on, somebody. Other people had Levi's, we had Wees. Come on, somebody. But it affected the way I operated. I got environments that my gift took me, but my mentality was so small. So rather than show up and show strong, I had backward thoughts. Ooh, be careful. What if they don't like that? Come on, somebody. Well, you don't have as much as them. Come on, somebody. Oh, all of a sudden, I started hiding the best part of myself. My passion and gift, God let make room for me, but my mentality did not go with me. Ooh. Where is God bringing you, but your mind's retracting you? You're regressing and retaining and retarding. You're damming up, not because what's the gift in you, but because of the mentality in you. Better question, what's in you, you're handing on to somebody else. What kind of experience are you giving to your kids? When they're around you, do they feel like, oh my gosh, when I get around them, there's energy. When I get around my family, my mom and my dad, there's miracles. They talk like God's big. They talk like something's going to happen. I get around my parents, my uncles, my grandparents. They just start talking to me how big God is. They start talking to me what he can do, how he provided, how he came through, how he delivered. Because you got governments, you got CNN, you got Fox News, you got everybody in the world trying to take the miracles out of the Bible. If you think God is not the same anymore, I encourage you to go through the whole entire Bible, like so many preachers today from John MacArthur, everything. Cut every miracle out and see what you're left with. If you think miracles were something, oh, that's so nice, that's so great that you think that way, oh my gosh. So like, there's like fairy dust, oh my gosh, it's kind of cool, whatever. Go through the Bible and cut out every miracle and see what you're left with. God is doing miracles. A man that was around me to help me, Oral Roberts, he said, miracles are always coming and going at all times. It takes someone to be aware and reach up and pull one down. Someone by faith, just pull one down. I don't know what you need. Shh, come on, somebody. Come on, by faith, just say, I'm going to take a miracle.
That seems so silly.
Isn't it silly to walk around trying to figure things out with 10% of your brain on a good day? When you have God who's all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipowerful, and he's for you, and you're not even willing to say okay? Note to self, you can't get an FM radio station on an AM dial. Anybody want to be partners with God? Anybody want to work with God, walk with God? I'm like, come on. I want to walk with him. I don't want to just visit. God's not looking for visitation. He wants weekend visitation. He wants full custody. He wants residence and he wants right away. God wants to work in and through you. You're marked. Why does all the hell come at you? Because you're marked? Because you have an anointing? Because you represent the King, invisible, but he's eternal and immortal? You represent him. Why is he coming hard at you? Because if he defeats you, he can defeat your kids. This ain't just about you. Other people are watching you. Paul and Silas in the middle of a jail cell in the middle of the night after having their feet put in stocks to where their bones, their legs came out of their sockets. Their arms came out of their shoulders came out of their sockets. 130 degrees in the summer, over less than 30 in the winter with big old ghetto Cheeto-eating rats. Come on, somebody. Running around. And at midnight, the other prisoners were listening. What was going to come out of them? And they started praising God for his miracles. Other people are watching what comes out of your life. What comes out, come on somebody, is what's within. Woo, blesses, guides, delivers. He blesses, guides, delivers. So there's levels of miracles. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to bust it. I'm going to pray for people. Watch. Believe in miracles. Someone say believe. Someone say believe. To believe. Think about it. Your belief system's powerful. It determines the generosity of your time, your talent, your energy, how much you love it. It determines how you respond right now. determines your stress level. How many know it's true? It guides all your interactions with what you do. Jesus said you become with what you believe. Matthew 9:29. He said all things are possible to him who believes. If I took you to Harvard psychology, they did a thing where they took 75-year-old men who were CEOs. And at age of 50, they had decided, you know, they were actually thriving at 50. So what they did was they did a scan on all their body parts, their cholesterol, testosterone, their eyesight, their hearing. And then they did something for 7 days. They put them in a little secluded area up in the mountains with all the other, there was 100 of them, and they were all 75. But they put a picture on their chest when they looked like when they were 50 years of age. And they had to operate as CEOs for the next 7 days with no contact with the outside community. So they operated, they ate food, everything that resembled 25 years prior, like a time warp. They had conversations about what they were doing when they were CEOs. Then they did a whole scan of their body, their mind, their brain, their testosterone, their cholesterol, everything about it, their heart. And what they found was this: after 7 days operating out of a different mentality, believing they were still 50 and CEOs versus retirees, every one of their organs was 3 times younger after 7 days. Not only that, their eyesight and hearing on every single one, 100 men, it improved by over 11% just by operating out of the power of believing they were somebody that was 25 years younger. That's in the natural. Come on, somebody. That's in the natural. Well, how do I believe? Faith comes when you hear God's word. Mark 4:24 says the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear is measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. I say believe. I had a friend of mine. He's an entertainer. He has 3 shows on TV right now. And he got a diagnosis of his little girl. She said they said she had cystic fibrosis. One of his children had cystic fibrosis. True story. A documented story. Prayed for the child. The child is completely healed to this day. Child's truly healed. God healed the child. But what was powerful was they got the diagnosis and they had their faith up. And then they got hit with a diagnosis they did not want. The wife went into seclusion, depression. She wouldn't pick up the phone for nobody. She was just mourning, suffering inside. She was harboring, this must believe this. This must mean, and I believe maybe we're cursed. Maybe God's not for us. Why did I have to have this child? She started really resenting. The very thing that she was anticipating now brought her pain. I was driving down Las Vegas Boulevard. He called me, and I go, hey, you doing okay? He goes, I'm not doing good. I go, what's up? He goes, we believed God, and then this happened. I thought God was a miracle worker. He did it for my son. Why didn't he do it for my daughter? So he started to take his belief from his circumstance rather than God. Watch. So I said, well, you got an opportunity here. You could either choose to believe that she's a disease or she's destiny. You can choose to believe, someone say choose to believe, that she's either a miracle or she's misery. I said, if your little girl could pop out of your wife's womb right now, she would beg you, Dad, Mom, please don't call me a disease. Please don't call me misery. Please don't call me. Please treat me like a miracle. Give God a chance. Give God an opportunity. It might not look good, but don't let their diagnosis talk me out of my destiny. Please believe. Please believe. Please believe. Be careful, because what you misdiagnose, you mistreat. Can I go look? I got 10 minutes. Watch. If I misdiagnose you, I mistreat you. I don't treat you like a treasure. I treat you like whatever. I'm better. It's pride. If I misdiagnose you, I won't treat you like the creative you are, the world shaker that you are. I will just treat you like, oh my gosh, I'm better. My life's more important. I got to be about my own business. I might treat you like trash. You get no engagement, no investment from me. All kinds of times, God brings things to you. What are you going to name it? What are you going to label it? He brought Adam. Whatever he named it, it became. Whatever it named it, you became. You could sit there and say, well, this boss is this. Hey, be careful. Don't curse him. God might use him to come up again and bless you. Well, this job means this. This belief means this. I don't believe that this isn't going to work for me. And it's amazing. You get what you believe, because it sets the expectation for your life. How many know God meets you at your level of expectation? It sets the boundaries for your life. Believe in miracles. He said, you know what? He said, I couldn't believe you put it in a different way. I'm not going to call this little girl. I'm not going to call her a disease. I'm going to believe she's going to be a miracle. It doesn't matter the way it starts. It matters the way it ends. So every day, God, thank you for giving us wisdom to raise a miracle. One by one, his wife slowly bought in. as a result of this thing. She was just on Ellen a couple weeks ago, the little girl. She blew a 112 when she was breathing. An average set of lungs blows in the 90s. She blew a 112. Their Muslim doctor said not one trace of diseases in this child. It is an absolute miracle. They walked the miracle out. They did the treatments, but she said, I believe. Someone say, I believe. Someone say, I believe. Say, I'm a believing believer. Come on, somebody. I'm a believing believer. The only future you have is the one you believe in. Then you got to receive a miracle. Someone say, receive. Come on, this is where I got to get you. Why? Because your feelings will try to talk you out of it. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Here's a deep revelation. Two-thirds of God's name is go. It means move. Every miracle Jesus did, other than raising someone from the dead, he demanded they make a move. Every time you want to go receive a miracle, feelings will try to oppress your reasoning and say, you don't feel like it. You're too tired. You've been hurt too many times. You've been burned. Remember, you put your faith out there. It did not work. Oh, my gosh. Your feelings will try to take you out of what God's counseling you to do. Maybe that's why Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of people that are mockers of God's power. Blessed is the man whose delight and desire in the law of the Lord. In his word, he meditates day and night. He speaks it to himself. He imagines it to himself. He lives in this thing. It's not a book he reads. It's a book he lives in. It's not an opinion. It's a revelation. Why? Because revelation can become conviction. When you got conviction, you got movement. When you receive, you get aggressive. If you want to get a miracle, you got to get aggressive. You got to think aggressive. Miracle's not just sitting there weightlifting your hands. It's getting thinking aggressively. How can I get out of debt? How can I change this in my home? How can I do that? Jesus said, if you're going to build a tower, first ask yourself, are you able to finish the thing? He taught to think aggressively and to plan ahead. Miracles are not mindless. Come on, somebody. In fact, according to my friend Miles Monroe, who's in heaven today, the ambassador of the Bahamas, he said a miracle is just a process of a law that God sped up because you chose to work the law. A miracle is not a miracle to God. Think aggressive. How can I bless him? How can I get out of debt? Come on, somebody. How can I improve my energy? How can I give more? How can I love more? How can I heal more? What can I do more? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Not can I. How can I? Then what? What about loving aggressively? It's amazing. When you want a miracle for yourself, find someone to improve. The other night, I took my little girl on a date. She's six. We went and got her nails done. Then we went and got donuts. Come on, in the middle of Santa Monica. Just because. And then she goes, what are we going to do? We went to the arcade on the 3rd Street Promenade. Over on the pier, and they go, she goes, what are we going to do? I go, we got to go help somebody tonight. Daddy, what are we going to go do? We're going to go help somebody? I go, yeah, let's go help some, bless somebody. Let's go love somebody. Let's go make them feel like they're worth something. Let's find a person that's really hurting. Lady was down in some beers, and you could tell she was having a real struggle in life. Come on, Kira, let's not ever shy away from somebody in pain. We're not watchers of people in pain. We love people through pain. We don't judge them where they are. We love people through. This is what we do. This is what we do. Grab my hand, babe. This is what we do. Let's go love her. We touch her. We don't just talk to her. We don't stay apart. Here's some money. We love. Don't withhold good when it's in your power to do something about it. Heaven watches what you do. God pays attention to how you treat the Holy Spirit inside of people. You want destiny, you want a big life, it's connected to people. All blessing comes from God, but it comes through people. If you isolate yourself, you stop your stunt, your growth. Start speaking aggressively. Abraham called those things that be not as though they are. He's got no Viagra. God makes him a promise. Come on, somebody. They had no Victoria's Secret where she could cover her wrinkles in cellulite. Come on, she's in her 90s, y'all. Give her a break. They're in retirement. God makes them a promise. Break this down now. Hey, God, he said he didn't start out strong in faith. He started calling those things that are not as though they are. My family's going to get strong. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to have a promise. I'm going to have a child. To call those things that be not as they are. It's one thing to write a vision down because intellectually it'll stimulate your mind and let you become clear. You need to write the vision down. But once you vocalize it, you get emotionally engaged. You want to feel better? Speak a little better. Your inner man rejoices, Proverbs says, when you speak right things. I wish I felt better. Speak a little better. Your faith becomes effective, the Bible says, when you acknowledge what's good inside you. Come on, write some things down. Get aggressive in your giving. Well, I don't want it. Don't touch that. Why would you touch giving? Why did you touch giving? Because giving reveals your heart. Every time you give, you conquer greed. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a greedy person because that's putting every blessing with bags of holes in it. Come on. I don't want it to leak out. What about praying aggressively? I just read, do you know the churches in South Korea have been fasting and praying every day for 6 months for the leader of North Korea? And then all of a sudden, a person that everyone's feared is now changing? Don't tell me your prayers don't avail much. Not a one-time prayer. Hey, God, hook me up. Come on, the fervent prayer. The fervent prayer. Do I got anybody that's praying some passionate prayers? Something that means something to you. Elijah was a man with a sex drive and depression and everything else. But he said he had all these struggles, his weakness, but he prayed. When he prayed, heaven just released rain, stopped rain, released it. He changed a nation by his prayers. He's rich to those who call upon him. Why would I not call upon him and isolate myself from his power? Woo, come on. I talked to this guy. I'm going to be quick here. We were at a concert, and we were sitting there. And what's his name? R. Kelly was on the stage. And he got up to perform with a friend of ours. And we were sitting there. And this guy goes, can I tell you my story, Rex? I go, I want to kind of like watch him sing. And he's like, no, I need to tell you my story. Can I say, can it wait? He goes, dude, I got to tell you my story. I'm like, fine, tell me your story. I wanted to step in the name of love, but come on, go ahead, tell me your story. So I'm sitting there trying to be a good friend. He goes, Rex, I went to Costco. I go, really? That's your story? You went to Costco? He goes, I went to Costco. I had some soup, had allergic reaction. I slipped into a coma. I was on a breathing machine and machine operated. And it sat there for 3 weeks. He said, I heard everyone's conversations about me. Even the people closest to me talking about it wasn't going to work out. All the doctor's prognoses, and they were planning my demise. I go, are you for reals? You were all there? You really died? He goes, I really died. I go, what happened? He goes, I was out there. I could feel dark things, and I could feel light things. And I go, well, what happened? Did you ever see Jesus? Did you go towards him? Did you not? Did you go to a place you didn't want to go? What happened? He goes, no, I talked to Jesus. And he didn't give me like a suit. He's not a religious guy. So I'm like, are you for real? And he goes, yeah. I go, what happened? He said, let me tell you. He goes, you've accepted me. And if you want to come home right now, I'll take you home. It'll be much easier for you. He says, but I'm going to give you a choice. If you want a destiny on the future, you're going to have to fight for it. Didn't make sense. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I sat there and contemplated. It's like I made him wait. He goes, I want to know what you decide. The miracle to come back. They're doing a big movie on his life, James Dean. I go, you for real? He goes, I told him, I said, I want a destiny. Immediately, I was shot back in my body. I sat there for another 3 weeks and could not move at all. I was in my shell, and they still were talking about the end. All of a sudden, I moved my toe, but I couldn't move anything else. I had to learn to walk again, to ride again, tie my shoes. He said it was painful in the process. Not every miracle is easy, but it's worth it. Every miracle, it takes a fight out of somebody. Come on, I'm talking to a lot of people. The enemy's tried to beat the fight out of you. Come on, somebody. It didn't happen as quick. You thought the delay was a denial. I got news for you. Come on, your miracle's in motion. Somebody's miracle's in motion. Come on, somebody. There's a miracle in motion to get you out of something and get you into something. Come on, somebody, help me in here. Get you out of something, get you into something. Get you out of something, get you into something. Lift your hands, start praising God that miracles are in motion for you. Lift your hands, even if you've never tried it, you might as well try it, you try other things. Come on, just lift your hands. Everyone stand up on your feet for a minute. Lift your hands, start telling him thank you. Thank you for not quitting on you. There's always a way to turn things around in him if you're committed. Praise you, God, for being faithful and nice to us. Praise you for being merciful to us. Come on. Let me hear your voice. I don't know what you say to him. Thank you, God, for delivering me from when I was going crazy. Come on. Thank you, God, for getting me off drugs. Thank you, God, for getting me out of perversion. Thank you, God, for getting me out of confusion. I don't know what your story is. Thank you, God, for getting me out of depression. Come on, somebody. Thank you, God, for bringing me out of stuff. But also thank you for all the miracles that are in motion to bring me into stuff. Thank you for getting me out of poverty. Come on. Thank you for getting me out of lack. Thank you for getting me out of fear. Thank you for getting me out of panic attacks. Come on, somebody. Thank you for getting me out of cancer. Thank you for getting me out of diabetes. Thank you for getting me out of apathetic living. Thank you for getting me out of just doing swiling out and being crazy. Thank you, God, for God ideas, miracles, solutions, gifts. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.